Well, thank you for that very warm welcome. It's great to be with you tonight. Once a year, we do the State of the State. It's a moment to stop and pause. It's a moment to stop and reflect on how we can use relentless positive action to continue the reinvention of Michigan. Tonight, what I hope to do is talk about the dashboard, where we stand, to talk about 2012, to talk about 2013, and to talk about our future. It's a great opportunity. I'm happy we could share it together. But first, I want to thank the people that made this possible. So, Speaker Bolger, thank you. My partner, Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly. Senate Majority Leader Richardville. There's three good-looking guys that don't have to look at the back of me for one year. I also want to say thank you and welcome to Senate Minority Leader Whitmer. Gretchen? House Minority Leader Grimal. Thank you. I want to welcome members of the Supreme Court. Secretary of State Ruth Johnson. Attorney General Bill Schuette. All the members of my cabinet. Thank you. I want to thank all the ladies and gentlemen of the legislature. Thank you for your partnership. I want to thank the citizens of Michigan for this opportunity. It's an honor being your governor. And then I have a special thank you. I would request that every member that's in the military service, our armed services, please stand. They deserve a special thank you. I would like to share a couple moments with you. In April of last year, I made a trip. I made a trip to Kuwait and Afghanistan. And on that trip, it was one of the most moving trips of my entire life. It was special to see the service that these fine people give our country. One special thing happened among many that I would share with you that showed me how proud I am to be a Michigander. I was a forward operating base, Kunduz, in Afghanistan, and it was with the 125th Infantry, a Michigan National Guard unit. When I arrived, they actually asked me to do a reenlistment ceremony. So I had the opportunity to swear people in to reenlist in the United States military in the Michigan National Guard in a forward operating base in harm's way. Those are special people, and we need to say thank you to anyone serving. To give you some perspective, we had well over 1,000 Michiganders serve and come back this last year. We currently have over 650 Michigan Guardsmen and Air Guard people serving our country around the world today. And there is a cost, and we need to understand that. This last year, we lost 9 service people that were Michiganders, including Sergeant Kyle McLean, a National Guards person. So I think it's only fitting that we send our thoughts and prayers at anyone in the armed services and all their families. So if you'd join me in a round of applause for all those wonderful people serving us. Thank you. The final group I want to thank, they're sitting up front and they came in with me, is my family. It's a wonderful opportunity to get all the kids dressed up. But thank you, family, for putting up with me. Now to the speech. And you know me, I did this in my first State of the State. I intend to do it in every State of the State, is talk about a dashboard, some measures and metrics on how we're doing. And I'll try to do this fairly quickly. We'll give you documentation in terms of all the dashboard I've been using since the day I took office. But tonight, in terms of this talk, I wanted to share five different items with you in terms of different metrics to show how Michigan's doing. The first one is, how is the economy? We're the sixth fastest growing state in the nation. We should be proud of that. And just to talk about some of our major industries, I call it, everybody talks about the big three of autos. I call it the other big three, our big three industries, autos, agriculture, and tourism. All are hitting on full cylinders, and it's a wonderful thing to see. I went to the auto show just this week. The auto industry is back in our country, over 14 million units sold. But one number you may not know is right here in Michigan. This last year, we produced over 2.25 million units. Of those 14 million units were assembled right here in Michigan, and we should be proud of that. And the good part is we have the best of those units. If you went to the North American Auto Show or you saw the press already, the winners of Car and Truck of the Year, the Cadillac ATS assembled in Lansing and the Ram 1500 assembled in Warren. If you want the best, you buy it from a Michigan product. Agriculture continues to do well. We had a challenging year. We had a freeze early in the year that devastated some of our fruit crops, and that was terrible. We had drought issues. But overall, we had a strong year. We had record production in sugar beets and wheat, for example. And one thing I wanted to mention, back in 2011, I worked with the Farm Bureau and the agricultural community on setting some goals for the ag community. And one of those goals is to say they were at $71 billion of output for the Michigan economy. We set a 2015 goal to say our goal is to get to $100 billion of output by 2015. Well, I'm proud to say this last year, we hit $92 billion. So my request, where's Wayne Wood? He's up there, is we need to update that number. We're sandbagging. So that number better be more than $100 billion. Tourism did very well, over a $500 million increase. One number I thought I would share, since 2004, we had the very best answer we've had in all those years in terms of hotel occupancy and hotel room rates. So we're coming back on tourism in Michigan, too. This is the place to be. So the economy is doing well. Other metrics, income levels are doing well in our state. If you look at the rate of income growth in our state, we're the ninth fastest state in the United States in terms of per capita income growth. That's a great number. If you look at employment, private sector employment, since our low point in 2009, we've added over 177,000 jobs, and we're going to keep going. The home market's coming back. We saw nearly a 10% increase in home sales. We saw over a 5% increase in prices for homes. That's a critical industry, and we're on the comeback path there. And the last thing I want to mention in terms of metrics, this is not a normal dashboard measure, but I think it is important. When they did the census in 2010, only one state in the United States went backwards, lost population. I'm proud to say this last year, we didn't grow by much, but Michigan is a growing state again in population. That's just the starting point. Our goal is to continue to make sure we keep our young people in the state, and we're going to continue to work hard, and what we've done is not good enough, but let's keep moving forward. Now, with respect to 2012, it was a busy year, as we all know. The three areas I'm going to break down are talk about jobs, people, and good government. On the jobs front, what did we do? in terms of really making things that make a difference. We had three major tax reforms that have made Michigan a much more competitive place, and we need to stay focused on that. The first one was personal property tax reform on the industrial front and for low-volume businesses. That's a great achievement, a great framework, and we need to continue working that issue because one thing I wanted to do is make sure we support our local partners, so I encourage everyone in August of 2014 to make sure we have a yes vote on a proposition to keep that replacement revenue stream for our local jurisdictions. But good work on personal property tax reform. It's going to keep businesses coming to Michigan. Two other tax items I want to mention. One is we made great progress in terms of doing severance tax reform. That's something we need in Michigan for non-ferrous metals. It's a huge issue for the Upper Peninsula, and we should be proud of the outcome. We have a dozen potential mining projects, either in process or on the drawing board, and this tax change will help encourage them to come to Michigan, bring jobs to the Upper Peninsula, help the Rural Development Fund that can help Michiganders across the state. Good work. Unemployment tax reform. We did that. We actually did a bond issue to get us out of debt with the federal government. I want to give Treasurer Dillon credit. It was actually recognized as the bond deal of the year for every bond deal in the entire United States. And what it's going to end up doing is saving our employers over $1 billion over the next 7 years, which will allow them to create more and better jobs for our citizens. Good work. Regulatory reform. We did good work there through the Office of Regulatory Reinvention and the work of this body working together. If you look at, we eliminated over 1,000 rules last year on a net basis. We roughly eliminated 10 rules for every new rule we added. That's how you create an environment that's conducive to business while still protecting our citizens that will generate jobs. Good work again. Infrastructure. Huge projects were going on that are only beginning, that I'll be talking about for the next few years, I hope, because of their progress. And the first one I have to mention with a smile, it's a bridge. We're moving forward with the new international trade crossing. We're waiting on the presidential permit, but it's a great opportunity. I want to thank our partners in Canada. That would not be possible. So in particular, I want to give a shout out to Consul General Roy Norton, who is a tremendous person on a personal level, but also to the country of Canada for paying for this bridge. There are no taxpayer dollars involved. A huge accomplishment of something that had been 40 years in the making. This was attempt 24, and success happened. It's known as the Regional Transit Authority for Southeastern Michigan, and it was a great effort of people working together, and I want to thank you for all that hard work. I do have one particular announcement on that front. I'm announcing tonight the chair. I get one appointment as the chair of the RTA, and for that great group, I couldn't think of anyone better. The person that will serve as chair is Paul Hilligans. Paul. Many of you know Paul and his track record. It's fabulous. And then on the legislative side, I want to give a shout out to Senator Tom Casperson for his great work in making the RTA happen along with many other transportation bills. It's a very quotable line. A Uber brought mass transit to Metro Detroit. One other thing I want to mention that wasn't done by this body, what was really important to our state that I want to acknowledge, it's a great achievement that they're just starting, but it will be critically important and exciting. It's a project in Grand Rapids, and it's a public-private partnership. They're going to put the rapids back in Grand Rapids and make it a recreational place where you can go kayaking and do other great things. It's a great environmental win, so I want to thank the people of the Grand Rapids area for that great hard work. Also, on the jobs front, I want to mention a program that many people don't know about, probably in this group or most of our citizens don't. It's called Pure Michigan Business Connect. And it was an idea that I just viewed as common sense. And we worked hard working with the MEDC to really make it happen. And what's the concept? It's not about the government spending money. It's about asking Michiganders to do more business with Michiganders, simply doing matchmaking and getting people signed up and working together. How's that for a great concept? Well, it works. We started it last year, a couple years ago, actually. But the progress has been tremendous. And it started on the buying side in terms of purchasing more with our two big utilities, with consumers and DTE. It happened on the lending side with two banks, Huntington and Fifth Third. And to give you an update, since 2010, in 2011 and 12, there has been over $800 million more purchasing done in the state of Michigan than was otherwise done, and there has been almost $2 billion of additional loans made in the last 2 years because of these programs, and it's going so well and so exciting that I was proud yesterday to announce that Ford and Chrysler are also joining the program. Let's keep this going. Let's get Michiganders buying more from Michiganders, because that's more jobs. Now, let me turn to the people front, which is critically important. And we don't talk enough about that, because we have people in need still in our state. And we need to do more to reach out to give them great service. One program I'm tremendously excited about, it gets me excited just talking about it, it's called Pathways to Potential. Now, I give credit to the Department of Human Services, Maura Corrigan, for coming forward with a program like that. And what's the concept? Let's get people out of the government office. And what we're doing is we're getting social workers, we're calling them success coaches, and we're asking them to leave the government office and go work in the local public elementary school. We're already doing that in 21 schools in our four most in need cities with the highest crime and biggest challenges, Flint, Pontiac, Saginaw, and Detroit. By February of this year, we'll have over 135 schools where we'll have success coaches in them. That's what government should be about. It's not about sitting in a government office waiting for your customer to come to you. It's about going to the customer, serving them in their neighborhood, understanding their issues better, taking better care of them, showing success. And I'm happy to share one success story with you. And I would ask that they stand. There are three people I'd ask to stand up. A success coach, Dana Trafalette. Yolanda Foster is a client, and she has her son, Joshua. If you could all stand up. Right over here. That's right over here. Thank you for joining us. And to quickly tell you the story, Dana was put in a school. And on the first day of school, one of Yolanda's children came in, one of her daughters came in flip-flops. And Dana had a chance to talk to her and learned about Yolanda and her family's situation. They were living in a homeless shelter. Dana worked with them. We got them into rental housing. Joshua was having challenges in school. And if you look at it, Joshua needed some help on that front. Yolanda is currently working part-time now and working towards your GED, hopefully, in a full-time job. And Joshua is doing well enough in school. From what I understand, he won a Most Improved Award in both math and attendance. They had come from the South, and what I would say to them both is thank you for coming to Michigan and welcome to Michigan, and thank you for sharing your story. Thank you. So a great success. Another great success is our Summer Youth Initiative in terms of putting young people to work in some of our, again, four most challenged communities. This last year we did over 750 kids. And in terms of that outcome, it's been wonderful. It's been led by the DNR, but it's about public-private partnerships. There are many community organizations participating in this, and I wanted to recognize one of the people. I could have done many, but in terms of that person, I'd ask Anton Stinton Williams to stand up. Anton, you're right over there, too. Yep, there he is. So, Anton Stinton Winters is actually a very shy person from what I was told. Is that right, Ann? But I appreciate you standing up in this group because Anton's a success story. Anton is from the east side of Detroit. He's currently going to Macomb Community College. But in terms of activities, as I understand, you had done basketball and bowling. And by going through this program, you had a great exposure to many other wonderful things. And Anton is now to the point where he's actually applied for a position with the DNR and looking at other opportunities. And this is the kind of success story. And I appreciate you won an award for outstanding performance and perfect attendance in this program. So congratulations for your hard work. It pays off. And I look forward to seeing you be a success story in Michigan. Thank you. One other area that we made tremendous success last year was with autism. That was something that was very moving to me. If you look at it, we have at least 15,000 young people that are qualified candidates to get assistance. And we have evidence-based treatments that can materially improve the quality of their life, to allow them to have a great family life, to be successful. It's wonderful. And if you think about it, there are no losers. It helps society in terms of being more successful. And I really appreciate so many people here who reached out to make that legislation happen. In particular, I want to recognize three people. I wanted to recognize Senator Rebecca Warren. I wanted to recognize Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville, who took up this cause from his very first days in the legislature, and Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly for their teamwork in making this happen. Thank you. One other area we really did that I'm proud of is Healthy Kids Dental. It's about giving kids in need better dental coverage, and it makes a huge difference. We now have over 440,000 people in Michigan in this program, young people, but we have a long way to go. But I'm proud to say in this current budget year, we're adding another 90-some thousand, and this is a program we should just continue until we get all kids in Michigan covered in some fashion, because it materially affects their life. But thank you for adding those extra 90,000 kids. It will make a difference in their lives. Good government. There's a topic that you know I get focused on as an old CPA. One thing I would say, one editorial comment, is we're a role model. I wish Washington, D.C. would follow the model we're creating about the basics that we're doing here. So if you talk to someone in D.C., you should tell them to look to Michigan. We do things right. And to give you a couple of illustrations of that, back in 2010, when I took office, we looked at the rainy day fund. And what was the balance in the rainy day fund? $2 million. Run the government for 30 minutes. The current balance in the rainy day fund is in excess of $500 million. That's success. Another huge win was on retirement reform in two ways. The first way is we materially reduced the liabilities, the future liabilities of our citizens by over $21 billion. That equates to $2,200 for every man, woman, and child in the state of Michigan. In terms of those are real savings that will accrue to their benefit that they otherwise would have had to pay. The second piece of it, though, is it's important that the people in those retirement programs can count on having those retirement dollars show up when they retire. We had not been responsible in terms of state government. We are being responsible now. So I'm proud to say and stand up for those future retirees is we're going to work hard, we're going to continue on this path, and you'll have a funded system where you can count on having that retirement check when you do retire. A couple other items is employee empowerment. We worked hard on really getting state employees more fired up and active in the process. And I want to credit the Lieutenant Governor and a great team of coming up with something called Bureaucracy Busters. It was basically creating an environment where they could go online and submit ideas. We had over 10,000 state employees participate. They put in over 1,000 ideas. There was over 100,000 votes for different ideas, and we're implementing a number of those key ideas and recognizing the winners, and we're just going to keep that program going. It's really cool. It's about getting excited employees. This is not about being caught in a bureaucracy. This is about serving a customer, our citizens. And then I want to recognize something that's often overlooked, is we probably had the largest court reform potentially in the history of the United States happened right here in Michigan. And it was large part due to your work in the legislature, but in particular, I want to thank Chief Justice Bob Young and the Supreme Court and the entire judiciary for their involvement in this process, which talked about performance measures for courts, it talked about court consolidation, and it talked about concurrent jurisdiction. And that fine work's going to continue. So I want to compliment the court and all your fine work and your colleagues on moving ahead and bringing us in leadership in the country on these topics. So thank you. Now, 2012 wasn't all cheerful for all of us. At the end of the year, we had a difficult time. We had a divisive period. And that's unfortunate. And I wish it wouldn't have happened. Sometimes it does happen in this world. And what I would say to all of you is, I hope we can work together. I hope we can work to avoid those kind of situations. And one of the most important things we do is we can have policy differences. We can have different perspectives. But ultimately, we're hired by the citizens and the people of the state of Michigan. And our role, our responsibility, is to give them great customer service. And to give them the best customer service, it's not dwelling on our differences, our different perspectives, and those kind of issues. It's really stepping up to say, how do we work together with respect to make sure we do the best job possible? And I appreciate that people had different perspectives on this issue. And what I'm saying is, I'm going to work hard to find common ground where we can work together, and I hope all of you join me in doing the same thing.
You're listening to special coverage of Governor Snyder's State of the State Address on the Michigan Public Radio Network.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. To 2013, I'm going to go through a number of legislative asks and other actions, and then I'm going to give you a roadmap on other activities we have going. And I'm going to start with the toughest thing first. I'm going to go jobs, people, and good government again. But I'm going to start with the toughest single issue that I think will hopefully be before us, but we're going to get it done. It's called our roads. As we know, and it's not just roads. It's bridges, it's rail, it's harbors. So please don't misunderstand me, but I'm going to talk in terms of roads. But it's that famous statement. I've done hundreds of town halls in Michigan, and I've asked the question, does anyone in Michigan like roads? I've not seen any hands go up After 100-plus town halls. It's time to do something, folks. We need to invest more in our roads. And to put it in a simple sense, it's time. I talked about it last year. I want to move ahead and asking in good partnership to say, let's do something to put more resources into our roads and redo our road distribution formula, both ends of the equation, both the sources coming in and how we use those dollars. Now, the tough question is if you get to the question of, we need more dollars for roads. What does that actually mean? Well, again, you know I'm a CPA. I actually believe this is a package, a program to save us money. This is not about costing us money. This is about saving us money and building for the future. So let me walk through the steps. If you look at it, we need to invest at the state level $1 billion to $1.2 billion more a year. I also want to provide for a local option for an additional couple hundred million dollars of additional revenue. And these are really user fees. When I say additional revenue, let's be blunt. These are about user fees. You got a car, you're using the roads. You buy gas, you're using the roads. So it's about user fee increases to pay for this. And what's the numbers? Again, if you stop and look to say it's an annual amount of roughly $1 billion, where would we be in 10 years with this and without it? With this, you can say, well, we're putting up $1 billion a year for 10 years. That's $10 billion. I can do the math on that. Well, we've done some analysis to say, what would our bill be if we didn't spend that $1 billion a year? Well, that bill's in the range of $25 billion. $25 billion. So this is just like looking at the question of, Do you get oil changes on a regular basis, and do you pay for that, or do you wait for an engine rebuild? So by investing that money on a consistent basis over the next 10 years, it will save us more than $15 billion. That's gigantic. That's the first step, but it only gets better. What's the next thing that would happen if we invested those dollars? One of the problems and one of the reasons we see our citizens so upset is they're incurring, besides getting their additional dental bills from being bounced around, they have additional car repair bills. So what we did is we looked at the average car repair expense in Michigan compared to the four surrounding states. On average, we spend $81 more per vehicle than the surrounding states do. Now, that $1 billion that I said we would need equates to about $120 a year per vehicle. And that varies depending on your usage, how much you drive, and the value of your vehicle. So that $120, there's potentially $80 of offset right there. But wait, there's more. If we invest that $1 billion a year, it will create over 12,000 jobs in Michigan. That's a lot of jobs, folks. That helps the economy a lot. And the last one is, and there's no price you can put on this, and I want to ask you a question. How many people here know someone that has lost their life in a car accident? Raise your hand. Think about it for a second, but I bet most of us know someone that lost their life in a car accident. If we do this, we've done some work to say that we would save nearly 100 lives a year. 100 lives a year each year. There's no price you can put on that. So if you step back and look at this, it's an opportunity to say, let's just do the right thing and invest in our roads, keep our citizens safer, create jobs, and have us save a whole lot of money and not stick our kids with a big bill. So I encourage people to work hard on this, and I want to give a shout out to Senator Kahn, who stepped up to be a leader on this issue. And I encourage other legislators to step forward to join Senator Kahn in moving this forward. In terms of another piece, just on the road thing, one piece of legislation I'm also asking for is autonomous automated vehicle registration, in terms of saying they're coming up with autonomous vehicles today, Google and different places now, that long-term are going to have vehicles that may not even have people in them, and I'm not suggesting that now, so don't get nervous. But California, Florida, and Nevada have already passed legislation on autonomous vehicles, and they're ahead of us. And aren't we the automotive capital of the world? So I think we should be stepping it up here and making sure we're on the forefront of advances in vehicles and opportunities. So I encourage that legislation. Now, I'm going to talk about something that's talking about schools and kids, but I have it under jobs. You could put it under jobs or people. But the point of getting a great education is having a great career and being successful. So to give you one illustration there, one of the things we have is we have a situation where we're not getting enough performance out of our educational system. Only 17% of our kids are college ready. That's absolutely unacceptable. Over 60% of our kids have to take a remedial class when they go to community college. That's absolutely unacceptable. And the toughest places we have is we have groups of schools that are persistently failing schools. So about 2 years ago, we started coming up with a concept of saying, why don't we come up with a truly innovative format to deal with the most persistently failing schools that can be a forum, a place to talk about innovation in education, and really show student growth? Well, we did. And those schools opened this last September. It's the Educational Achievement Authority. There are 15 schools in the Detroit area, and this is not a Detroit-only project. The goal is to say this should help things all across the entire state of Michigan. So we took 15 schools that were among the most persistently failing and put them into a system of schools, not a school district, but a system of schools to put the most resources possible in the classroom, to have a longer school day, to have a longer school year, to have 3 meals a day, but even more importantly, to have a student-centered learning model where the students are driving their own educational growth. In the EAA, there's no such thing as failing a grade. There's only a question of how long it takes you to master a level. And I think that's a very important note and opportunity for people to look at. And it is working. I'm proud to say the Gates Foundation gave it one of their breakthrough awards for innovation in education. It's off going well. And what I'd ask you to do is pass some legislation we talked about the later part of last year, but also to come visit the school. So tonight I'm offering an open invitation to every legislature to come visit the EAA and go talk to the kids. In particular, I'm happy to say we have a couple people from Brenda Scott Elementary Middle School. So let me see if I can figure out which direction they gave me on my little chart here. But we have the principal, Marquise Stewart, and we have Kente Roberts joining us up in the gallery. Thank you. Now, in terms of Kente, and I just want to share a little bit, if it's okay, Kente, is he was a challenged student in terms of both behavior and performance in the classroom. He got into the EAA. He's gotten very engaged. He's in level 13-14. I walked into the school and I asked the kids, what grade are you in? They said, we're not in grades, we're in levels. So I appreciate that. But he's done very well. From having a challenge beginning in November, he was student of the month, and he's on a path to being actually a mentor for younger students in the school. And Kente, go for it. You got my support. We're looking for good success. Budget-related items, and I'm not going to go into the budget details, but I'm going to tell you these are things that we will have in the budget that we think should be a priority for attention. The first one is in the Great Start Early Childhood area. We have 29,000 students that are eligible for a program to get them into preschool. I don't believe we can accomplish all of that, and I'm open to coming up with creative ideas to get there. But I think it's important we make a major commitment, a major budget commitment, to get as many kids in as possible and get us on a path to getting all those kids in Great Start and early childhood programs. So I ask your support for that. And the second thing is, on the skilled trades training side, there's opportunities there for us to do much better. Because skilled trades, there are open jobs in Michigan that we're not filling. And on that topic, I really look forward to working with several representatives on that, Representatives Johnson, McBroom, and Nesbitt. So thanks for signing up to help be part of the team to get things done there. And I actually have to apologize. I got one shout out on education I missed, but I don't want to say it's not the least, because it is really important. And I want to thank two legislators who have been huge on the EAA, but all our education reform. And that's Lisa Lyons and Phil Pavlo. So thank you for your fine work on that. Thanks, Phil. People. Insurance reforms is the first category. And there are two or three items here. One is simple. We should go back and do Blue Cross Blue Shield. And I hope that's something we can take up early, get done, and move forward, because it's really preparing us for the healthcare marketplace of the future. The second area is about auto insurance. If you step back, and before I talk about the specifics, let me set the stage on auto insurance in Michigan. We are the 10th most expensive state in the nation. In terms of no fault, in terms of claims coming in, the severity of claims, we far exceed every other state in how expensive our claims are. The average claim in Michigan is $44,000. The other next two states are $17,000 and $10,000. And that leads to high auto insurance costs for people, our citizens, our customers. And we have three of the top 10 most expensive states in the nation for auto insurance. We have Detroit at number one, we have Novi at number six, and we have Muskegon at number nine. It's time for some reforms, folks. And the two reforms I'm talking about is, first, we should reform no fault. It is time to do that in a thoughtful way. The second one is in the area of insurance fraud. We should create an insurance fraud authority to address issues there that we can bring benefits to our citizens. So both those things I really encourage people to work on. Also in the insurance area, the insurance industry and the financial services industries continue to be more and more important in Michigan. And because of that, I've signed an executive order to create the Department of Insurance and Financial Services. And I think it's a great opportunity, and I know we have a great director in Kevin Clinton all ready to go. So we're going to move that ahead and create a new there because it'll lead to more and better jobs in Michigan. So, Kevin, get going. I think Kevin's over that one. Veterans. This is a topic I've talked about before, but we need to constantly and vigilantly keep working veterans' issues. Two or three things. First, I want to say thank you for the good legislation at the end of last year in terms of opening up occupations to easier licensing for veterans with backgrounds in being an electrician, a plumber, and a security guard. But I think there are more occupations we can add to that list where it's easy to get them licensed. And they include things such as truck driver, mechanic, and EMT. So I encourage the legislature to take up those bills early to get those things done. Thank you. And along with that, tonight I'm happy to announce we have received something for the United States Veterans Administration, which the state of Michigan is now going to be an accredited body. And what does that mean? Well, we've got great veteran service organizations in terms of people participating in that, in terms of the American Legion, the Purple Heart Association, the Vietnam Veterans, Veterans of Foreign Wars, many good people out doing that work, but now we can work with them better. We can collaborate better, we can partner with them better, we can prosecute more and better claims for veterans in terms of benefits. So it's a major achievement, and it was a good hard work, and I want to thank all the people that made that happen. But I also want to recognize the veterans organizations we have here today. So if you'd take a stand so we could recognize you. Thank you. And thank you. And in terms of that, it's been part of the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and it deserves more attention. So we're going to create a new agency by the end of the week, the Veterans Affairs Agency, to really step forward and consolidate work and do better work for veterans. So we are staying focused on this, and we are going to show better results. Mental health, we need to do better. And we are going to... We started investing in that, and we've done some good work with mental health courts. But the issue is we should be doing more to help people before they show up before a judge. So what I'm saying is we need to work together in partnership. We'll put additional budget resources towards, but we need to partner on coming up with great demonstration projects on how to engage mental health issues more effectively, get communities more involved, create more public-private partnerships, and take care of people that deserve better attention that will benefit all of us. So let's work on mental health. Strengthening neighborhoods and communities. This is an area that I think we can show good bipartisan teamwork on, we should be working together on. If you look at it, there are two or three key topics on this one: abandoned properties. I'm going to ask for legislation to deal with slumlords and people taking advantage of people that are buying properties, not paying their taxes, not taking care of people, renting these properties the right way. We need to stand up and do something about that. It's not right. The second area is metal recycling. In terms of taking valuable metals in the sales process, we need to do something in that field because that's an abuse that's taking place not just in neighborhoods but statewide, in terms of stepping forward. And we need to work on even more on the public safety front. We made a major initiative in the past, but it was never a one-year initiative. It's going to take multiple years working consistently to do that. So I think there's a need for even more troopers. There's a need for even more resources. And I'm going to call for new legislation for a next-generation 9/11 system so we can do a better job on public safety. And in terms of these efforts, I really look forward to partnering with Senator Smith. Representative Ananak and Stallworth in terms of being partners and stepping up to get some stuff done. So how about on this issue together? Good government. One of the things I'm calling for is we do a pretty good job of fiscal notes and bills, but that's not good enough. What I want to ask is we look at the concept of tie-barring bills that take dollars into account, that require dollars, and actually put them in also to say they won't go forward until there's an appropriations bill that figures out how to pay for them and where that money's coming from, and also doing that with respect to capital items, not just operating items. So if you want a bond, let's put the debt service in and not just leave that debt for the future. In terms of transparency and openness, I'm looking to partner with Secretary of State Ruth Johnson, working together on that area. There are a number of things we can do there. Ruth has come forward with some great ideas on online voter registration. We should be looking at in-person, no-reason absentee voting when you have photo ID. We should be looking at reporting requirements for campaigns. We should be looking at campaign limits. And we should be looking at local election administration. So I'm looking forward to working with the Secretary of State on a good package of things to jump on this area. Ethics. We need to do additional work on conflict of interest rules for state and local government. We need to look at those in terms of lobbying. We need to look at them in terms of the procurement process, the purchasing process, how we'd better deal with those things. And it's important we look at ways to be more effective there. I also want to give a shout out to our Attorney General, Bill Schuette. He's been very vigilant in these things, and one of the achievements he did this last year going after things that weren't right was the mortgage settlement. So thank you for your hard work on that effort, Bill. So those are the list. There's about a dozen and a half different things that are out there that I think are important. Now a roadmap for next year, because I thought this was very helpful in the past in terms of different activities. And this is not a year of special messages. This is a year of summits. A little bit different take on doing things, but bringing people together to talk about issues in a serious way, making plans and getting stuff done. So the schedule looks like this. In February, we'll be back with the budget. February 7th, much as we have done in the past. In March, I plan on doing an economic development summit to focus in on talent. Again, trades, the needs for university graduates and engineering. Also on how we can work better together as regions. In April, we're going to do a statewide education summit where we can take the outcome of understanding where future employment needs are, future career opportunities, take that in April and have a great discussion about how we can do a better job on supplying the talent that those jobs are out there, those employers need, and getting a system that's designed to create careers through our educational system, even better than we have today. In May, we're going to have the report on our land strategy. We own over 4 million acres. We have no strategy today. We need to have one, and we're going to get that done. In June, I was proud to be elected co-chair of the Great Lakes Governors Council. And what we're going to be doing, and I've already invited the other governors and premiers, is hopefully we'll be holding a session on Mackinac Island, bringing the Great Lakes governors and premiers together to talk about how we can do more to protect, enhance, and benefit the Great Lakes of our wonderful state, which we all love. So that's important. And one last item, because I talked about in terms of roadmap, is actually out to December, which is about energy. In my special message on energy, I talked about the need for a state-long dialogue on what should be goals for energy efficiency and for renewables, because I do believe in both those concepts, and we should have a statewide dialogue in looking at the changes that need to be made by 2015, if not before. So let's be proactive on it, and let's work together on that topic. So there's a roadmap of different activities. Now, what I'd like to do is, in terms of closing, is try to put the big picture out there a little bit. Because in many cases, over the last 2 or 3 years, I occasionally get criticized. I knew I could get a laugh out of that at the start. But one of the things I'll get criticized for is trying to do too many things or taking on too many big problems. Problems that people say, this has been a problem for 20 years or 30 years. Why are you doing that? And as you know, typically I'll take on several of those a year. And why does that happen? Well, it's simple. We do need to reinvent ourselves. Who here would like to be back in 2009? Do you know of anyone that would like to be in the Michigan of 2009 again? And it wasn't 2009. It was a lost decade. We lost over 750,000 jobs. Our state shrank. Now, it's just not about that mess that I get so passionate about doing things. It's about 44 years, what makes me really passionate. I only have two charts on my wall in my office. One of those charts is a chart that shows Michigan's percentage of the national economy from 1960 forward. The high point was 1965. We accounted for about 5.25% of the entire U.S. economy. That chart, that line, it has some ups and downs, but it goes downhill for 44 years until 2009. It ends up just a hair above 2.5%. Our role in the national economy reduced by more than half in those years. We've started to come up again. We've been coming up the last 2 or 3 years. I don't intend us to see us to go back down again and just say it was another blip. That's why I act like this. That's why we have dog ears. That's why we have relentless positive action. It's a commitment to say, can't we have 44 years of going up now? And that requires hard work. And that is not an easy thing to do. And the greatest challenge to make that happen is not any piece of legislation I've mentioned. It's not any of the great reforms we've already done. The greatest challenge in doing that is really simple. We just need to go look in the mirror. It's us. I've lived this too many times. I got out of school in 1982. Unemployment was over 15% in Michigan at the time. I heard a lot of talk from a lot of people talking about a lot of the very same things we're doing now. What happened? Back in those days, the auto industry came back. 84, 85 were some really good years. Everybody forgot about the ugly times and all the talk about really reinventing things. And so all we did was have another way stop on the mess to going to the bottom. This is our opportunity, folks. This is a special privilege to be in elected office, to be a servant of our citizens, to say we have the opportunity to make that trend line keep going up. And I'm going to give you one tangible illustration of how we act this year will help decide have we got it or not. And that's an issue about asking for the $1 billion of user fees for the roads. Because I can tell you, in a traditional political world, if I talk to political people, if I talk to government people, they have a mindset of cash in and cash out. Let's look at 1 year. What are the politics of this? The road funding formula, what we're proposing, would go nowhere. That's the old broken model of the public sector of government. That's plain politics. If we step back for a minute and said, we're a family. We're a family of 10 million people. And we're sitting around the kitchen table. And we're saying, what's right for our future? And we sit there and say, we've got a chance to make payments over the next 10 years that would save us 1.5 times what we're otherwise going to have to pay. And we can save lives. And we cannot stick our kids with a big bill. This is a no-brainer. This is common sense. Every family in Michigan would decide to do the road project. That's something we need to think hard about. So we can decide how long we want to argue about it, how political we want to make it, or we can just use some common sense and get it done. Because, again, if you step back and look, we're not here for us. It's an honor and privilege to be elected. And we're here to serve 10 million people that are counting on us. So let's get the job done. So this is our opportunity. Thank you. Thank you. You can see I do love this job in terms of passion, because it is a special chance. This is our chance to say, we're doing the right thing today, and I get passionate, all I have to do is look here. Three kids. So let's work together. Let's use relentless positive action. No blame, no credit, common sense, solve the problem. Step forward, reinvent Michigan, and be proud to say we're creating a path that made a better place for all of us today, but for our kids and their kids. So enough talk for tonight. Let's go to work tomorrow. Let's reinvent Michigan. And God bless Michigan and all of us. Thank you so much.